You may be seated. The sermon this morning comes from Romans chapter 2. Please join me there. I'll start the reading with verse 1. Therefore, you have no excuse, every one of you who passes judgment. For in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. But do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment on those who practice such things and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds. To those who by perseverance and doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath and indignation. There will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil. For the Jew first, and also for the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. And all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not the hearers of the law who do just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these not having the law are a law to themselves, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them on the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus. But if you bear the name Jew and rely upon the law and boast in God and know his will and approve the things that are essential, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, a corrector of the foolish, a teacher of the immature, having the law, the embodiment of knowledge and of the truth. You, therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that one shall not steal, do you steal? You who say that one should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, through your breaking the law, do you dishonor God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, just as it is written. For indeed, circumcision is of value if you practice the law. But if you are a transgressor of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. So if the uncircumcised man keeps the requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? And he who is physically uncircumcised, if he keeps the law, will he not judge you, who though having the letter of the law and the circumcision, are a transgressor of the law? For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that which is of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. And his praise is not from men, but from God. Pray with me. Father, help us now and give us good understanding of your truth, that we will have the right heart, that we will approach you in faith in Christ Jesus, and not from any imagined righteousness of our own. Help us now, Lord, and be glorified. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This past week, I had the opportunity to camp at Synod. And as I set up my camp, there were ARPs, elders, all around me, and they're setting up their camps as well. I noticed they had bigger tents, more expensive tents, and above their tents, they were putting huge tarps to protect themselves and their tents. And I just had my itty-bitty little tent that we bought at Walmart several years ago. And this young man said to me, "If we get a big rain, it's going to go right through your tent." And I thought, no, surely not. And I approached an older gentleman and I asked him, "What's the weather supposed to be like?" And he said, "You see that pole over there?" And I said, "I do." And he said, "You see that flashing light on top of it?" I said, "I do." He said, "That means there's a bad storm coming." So that night as I got into my tent and it became dark, lightning began to arc overhead. I could hear raindrops coming in the distance, and they came closer and closer and closer, and then there was a torrential downpour all over the area, and already I could start to feel drops coming through the roof of my tent. I looked around in my little tent and I saw all of my clothes for the next week. I saw my Bible sitting there, all of my books, and my laptop. And as I sat with the water dripping, I gathered all of my possessions on top of me on my sleeping bag, and I got my big rubber poncho, and I put it over top of me. And there I laid, under my books, and under my laptop, and under all of my clothes with water dripping down onto my poncho. I was actually having a good time, believe it or not. In our lives, as we look at the scripture here, like this older southern gentleman, I point for you and I say, "Do you see that pole? And you see that light flashing on top of it? That means there is a big storm coming." Many of us, maybe all of us, would say, "No, surely not for me. Surely this wouldn't affect me." But here we look at the scripture, and Paul in the chapter 1, he laid out the guilt of the Gentiles. Here in chapter 2, he's laying out the guilt of the Jews. Those who have had the law. Those who have had the sacraments. And we can look at ourselves, and we are the ones now who have the law. We are the ones now who have the scripture. We are the ones who have the sacraments. We are the ones who know God. And yet it's laid out here, and this picture is given, and the question is asked, you who have the light, you who say, "Do not commit adultery," do you commit adultery? You who say, "Do not steal," do you steal? And he goes on to lay it out, and he says, look, everyone is guilty under the law. And when it's described here that this judgment is coming, where the secrets of men will be judged by Christ Jesus, that all of us stand guilty. So then, what is our answer? So then, what is our hope as this great storm comes? Well, as we look at ourselves and we do see our guilt, as we do see our crime, and we understand that a storm comes of it, the message now is, in the great storm of your sin, cling to mercy in Christ Jesus and be drawn into repentance. Cling to mercy in Christ Jesus and be drawn into repentance. Our first step now is from verse 1. Therefore, you have no excuse. Every one of you who passes judgment, For that in which you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge, practice the same things. So our first step is watch for imagined righteousness. We look at ourselves and we diagnose ourselves and we say, we are pretty good. Compared to our neighbor, we are pretty good. Our children oftentimes will look at each other and say, I'm pretty good compared to my sister. Or I'm pretty good compared to my brother. Some of us look and we look at our parents and we say, at least I'm a better parent than my parents were. And we imagine ourselves having then achieved some goodness or some righteousness on our own. But then there are those scary times, aren't there? In our quiet times in Scripture. In our quiet times in prayer. Where we look at the Word and God opens our hearts. And I ask you, in those moments, are you able to look and see and imagine that you are righteous? Do you look at the standard of the law and say, yes, I have arrived? In those quiet moments, in those honest moments, don't we see our own guilt? So do you see in the Scripture a standard that you have achieved? Do you look at the Scripture and do you see a standard that you are really close to achieving? Or do you look and do you see and do you honestly see that you have not attained righteousness? See, the posture of our lives and the posture in our hearts is to be those who see themselves and know that they have a need for Christ. Not a people who stand with an air of a righteousness achieved. So watch for that imagined righteousness. Next, we'll look at verses 1 and 2 again. Verse 1 and 2. Therefore, you have no excuse. Every one of you who passes judgment. For in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge, you practice the same things. And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. We look at our lives and in the ways that we run, in the ways that we play, in the ways that we walk, the things that we do, the things that we say, the things that we joke about and laugh about, the things that we distract ourselves with. So much of it is to distract us from the judgment that comes. We don't want to believe it's out there. We don't want to believe it's coming. But here we say in verse 2, and we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. In verses 5 and 6 of Romans 2. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, do you see yourself there? Do you find yourself there? Sins that you are clinging to, sins that you haven't let go of, sins that you haven't been confessing to one another so that we can pray for one another. Do you find yourself in that place? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds. See, this gives us that picture of an ever-increasing guilt. That each time we sin, it's there, it's there, it's there. As if we're putting it into a bank account and someday it's going to open up and it's all going to be poured out on us. We look at our nation and we announce the same way that people used to in the biblical times. Things are just going to keep going the way they always have. People have been sinning and sinning and sinning and nothing has happened yet. God hasn't done anything to our nation yet. Really? Really? Or do we see judgment unfolding on our nation even now? As we saw in Romans chapter 1, even the sin of homosexuality is God turning us over to our sin. Giving us to the things that we have allowed as we have not spoken the truth in love. So we see with certainty that judgment does come. And it is to be in the forefront of our mind as we deal with our sins. This brings us now to our third step. Do not imagine that you have earned glory and honor. Verses 5 through 7. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you're storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds. To those who by perseverance and doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Do you look at that and say, oh, well, there it is. Whew, that's a relief. Because I seek for glory. I seek for honor. I seek for all of these goods. So now, because I've done this, I will inherit immortality and eternal life. This is the opposite of what's being explained here. He's unpacking this and saying, nobody, nobody has gotten this. Nobody has come here except for Christ Jesus. If you look and you see and say, wow, by perseverance and doing good and seeking for glory and honor, I've made it. I've made it. Now, there's this old song where the chorus says, it ain't me, babe. Here we can look and we can say, it ain't me. It ain't me. I have not achieved it. I have not made it. I am not there. This is not you. And Paul goes on to teach us, or has taught us then in the former verses, and this is our fourth step. Notice your own hypocrisy. Boy, no, we don't hate anything as much as we hate a hypocrite, probably. We look and we often use the hypocrites as excuses. If someone comes to us with some judgment, we say, oh yeah, well, you did the same thing. Or you are just as guilty as me. You have done this or you have done that. And this hypocrite thing is our trump card for other people when they would come to us. But here we see what's going on. God is showing us our own hypocrisy. Romans 2:3. But do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment on those who practice such things and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? This whole idea of judging, we have to judge. We don't have any other choice. Judging is merely discerning between and choosing what's right and wrong. We have to discern between. We have to choose what's right and wrong. When we're driving down the road, we look at the speed limit sign. We have to decide, how much faster can I actually go and not get caught? We judge, we choose. So as we judge and as we choose, we are bringing condemnation on ourselves. He unpacks it for us. Therefore, you who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that one shall not steal, do you steal? We look at the scripture and we do steal. We are thieves. We all say you shall not commit adultery. But in our hearts, as Jesus unpacked it, we're all guilty of adultery. So that same judgment that we place on another, we set it there and it's a weight placed upon us as well that says guilty. You have committed these crimes. You who say that you shall not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? This idea of robbing temples, I haven't seen any of you or heard of any of you running to Hindu temples and stealing stuff out of it. But in Malachi 3:8, it asks the question, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? And God answers, in tithes and offerings. When we don't bring our first fruits into the storehouse here, where we care for one another, it's called robbing God. Now, when we put it in those terms, some of us will shrug and say, yeah, well, everybody does that. Can you imagine robbing God? Can you imagine going to the throne and taking something that's His from Him? and imagine not being destroyed. You who boast in the law, through your breaking of the law, do you dishonor God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, just as it is written. Is this the case? Is this the case? The people out there, can they look on you and look on your behavior and look on the things that you've done and say, hypocrite? Hypocrite. I know they could for me. Because the law is perfection. The law is completely holy. The law is completely righteous. And this passage, it lays it out for us that the Gentile and the Jew are guilty. We are hypocrites across the board. So with this label on us of hypocrite, now we come to verse 16. And this step is, remember the deadly place of Christ. Remember the deadly place of Christ. Romans 2:16. On the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus. This is almost too much to bear. Your secrets are known to God. Your secrets will be judged. Those things that we think we have gotten away with, those things that we even have tried to hide from ourselves in the dark corners of our mind, will be judged. God lays out this brutal picture of perfect judgment in Revelation 19:14-6. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. This is more than we are able to picture on our own. See, I haven't seen armies marching. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what a battlefield looks like. I've seen grapes pressed in a wine press. I know what that looks like. And imagine that image of grapes and their interiors being smashed out and staining the cloth that they are on. To imagine humanity in that place is a dreadful picture. It's a terrifying picture. As we not only picture people that we don't know, but everyone that we have known deserves this wine press of the wrath of God Almighty. And what will be the standard? The standard that we have held others to. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You shall not covet. You shall not bear false witness. All of these standards that we say we believe and we have announced to others, all of those are reflected back upon us. We're all guilty, guilty, guilty before God. And yet here we sit. And yet here we are, not undone. Well, verse 4 gives us the idea why. Romans 2:4. Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? And this is the message this morning. That as we look at our own sin, as we look at our own crimes, as we see ourselves as fully and completely guilty, we run to Christ. Who else can we look at as we look through Scripture? Do we find anyone else who has sought for glory and honor? Do we find anyone else who, through perseverance, sought good and inherited honor and immortality and eternal life? But we look and we see Christ. We look and see the one who has loved God perfectly. We look and see the one who has loved his neighbor perfectly and has so fulfilled the law. And then by faith in Christ Jesus, in his sacrifice, we come to him and we are received. We are counted as righteous. We are loved. So we look, and what is being accomplished here is our salvation as we see ourselves rightly. So do you think lightly of his riches, of his kindness, of his tolerance, and of his patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? You see, we are in a place to rejoice now as we look at and see and know what we actually deserve. Each of us deserve the fires of hell right now, to be burning right now. And yet, as you trust in Christ, you are in a place of grace. Now, for those of you who haven't put your faith in Christ, this fire awaits. The judgment awaits. So seek him. Seek him with your whole heart. The Scripture tells us if you seek him, you will indeed find him. For those of you who are in Christ, you are now in the place to rejoice. A place to have thankful gratitude and a place to adjust your steps according to his word. Not that we will achieve this righteousness that we read about. That's Christ alone. But that we will follow him. So from the storm of your sins, cling to this grace and rejoice in repentance. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you do not mince words. You do not leave us wondering and guessing what you would have us do and who we are and who you are. But Lord, we praise you and we rejoice in you because of who you are. God, grant us good and true repentance. God, and be glorified as we trust only in the righteousness of your Son. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. Our next psalm is Psalm 100.